This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, and 1140 AM, KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or a question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management, downtown Cody. Call today for no cost, no obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods. For health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living, stop by Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling U.S. callers, please tell us your first and last name. We limit callers to one call per show. Today's guest on Speak Your Peace, well, you know him well. He's the voice of Cody Athletics, KODI Sports Director, Tim Anderson. Tim, welcome back to Cody. You're back from Casper. How's it going?
Good, good. I told you I'd make it up to you by being on the show after being out of studio last week, actually the past 2 weeks for a couple of days.
You stole some of the Speak Your Peace air time, but the girls went to state as well as the boys. And, it's a great basketball season for both the Cody boys and girls.
Yeah, you know, to make the state tournament is the ultimate goal. Maybe not the ultimate. Winning the state tournament is the ultimate goal. But certainly I think everybody sets out during the season to get to Casper. Somehow, and whether you know you're up, down, or in the middle, you know, if you can win those two games at regionals to make it to the next week, that's what matters for most, or really every team, I'd have to say. Even if you go into a season where you figure you're not going to be very good, you always have that hope in your back pocket that maybe I can win at least two games at the right time to advance. And to have the Cody boys and girls there together same time for the first time in 7 years, that was cool.
Makes a busy weekend for you, right?
Yeah, you know, but the way that they structure the games and whatnot, it's not necessarily a challenge. The way they kind of stagger everything, and obviously, everybody plays in the same place. Well, 3A, you know, what I'm saying is it's not like the girls played at the event center on Thursday morning and then the boys that afternoon played at Casper College or something like that. You know, everybody for 3A, boys and girls, plays in one venue, you know, one day, and then, you know, different venue together on the next day. So scheduling wise, I mean, maybe for you it's kind of a headache on this end trying to figure out who plays when and where and what that does to our regularly scheduled programming. But for me on my end, you know, it's not like it causes me any extra travel or anything like that.
Well, you know, we got a call. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Good morning, guys. This is Steve Torrey.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Tim. You do a really great job on those playoffs, those games.
Thank you.
All season long. I just want to thank you for the good work you do, and you're real entertaining to listen to.
I appreciate it.
You betcha. And you have to find the clip here while you're on the air during your commercial, or maybe you brought it with of you announcing they're going to state it when you were at regionals.
Oh, I've got
you
that
have to play
somewhere.
That.
Maybe I could dig that up for Darren one of these mornings.
Yeah,
here.
That'd be
okay,
good.
Okay, that's a KODI classic, Jim.
All right.
That is. You're doing a really good job.
Thank you, sir. It was fun.
All right. And take care.
You too. And like I was saying earlier in the morning show, I have the kids to thank for the excitement. I mean, you know, what they do on the court or on the field, you know, is what I try to translate over the radio. So, there's times where it doesn't go so well, and hopefully, you know, that comes through in my voice, you know, because that's what's really happening. But when they do so well, when they qualify for state, when they win a championship, when they, you know, win a big game, that's the emotion that I'm trying to get across. And actually, I was telling you when I walked in the studio, I was just briefly checking my email, and in my spam folder, because I'd never got an email from them before, family, I guess, from Buffalo was listening to the semifinal that the Bronx played against Rollins on Friday night.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that they were trying to wonder who their Buffalo team might be playing in the championship. So they were tuning in, and, you know, you can call it a guilty conscience or whatever, but my first thought was, oh, no, you know, did I say something wrong? Did I offend somebody? You know, in the heat of the moment when I'm excited or, you know, trying to, you know, describe the situation as accurately as possible. Did I say something that rubbed somebody the wrong way? But they were, it was a quick email. It was a very complimentary. Hey, really enjoyed your call. You know, I was on the edge of my seat, out of my seat, you know, with what happened and the emotion that, you know, that you announced it with. And they added a little go Bison at the very end, which, you know, that's kind of a little stick in my craw. But
sure.
But I appreciate the feedback from people who, you know, are out of town listening. And WildPreps.com always has links on their schedule of games to, you know, to the radio stations for each team. So, you know, I know certain people take advantage of that, and it's kind of cool that, you know, in this case, you get the feedback, somebody actually doing that.
Absolutely. Now, just to recap, the boys finished second, lost the championship game Saturday night, and the girls went 0-2. We'll start with the girls real fast, and we'll touch on the boys. The girls, despite the 0-2 mark at state, you have to say, what a great season, the way they came through at the end of this, towards the end, right?
Getting
qualifying for state and so forth.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The way that, you know, I saw them for the first time, you know, did their first, the first game I did for them was December the 30th down at Wyoming Indian. When they played a good game and they actually had a chance to get a win, but then they made some turnovers and just kind of fell apart a little bit and wound up losing that. And that was kind of a trend for like the next 2 months or so. Was there would be spurts where they executed okay, but there seemed to be a lot of other spurts where they didn't, where they would, you know, literally only score 2 points in a quarter.
No, boy.
And you would just scratch your head like, you know, why is it we can do so much better, you know, the previous 8 minutes and then the 8 minutes, you know, after that, you know, not so well. So, I was thinking during the, you know, during the thick of it, you know, because basketball is a long season, you know, you're generally you're playing twice a week. And when you're doing games on the radio, you're doing four games a weekend. It's just a lot of basketball.
Oh yeah.
And you, when you just get caught up in all that stuff, you know, there's just maybe comes a point where, even, you know, even when things are really going well, you know that there's still a lot of basketball to be played. And when things are not going well, it's just one of those situations where it's like, man, how are they going to work themselves out of this funk? And when they got to the regional in Pinedale and wound up qualifying for state, it was like, okay, this is what it's all about. It's, you know, yes, it can be difficult for the months before that, but when everything's on the line, so to speak, playing your best to get to the state tournament is what matters. And they were able to do that, so that was fun. And then it's a joy, as I've always said, it's a joy for me and an honor and a privilege to be able to call games from the Casper Event Center courtside. We didn't get to announce from the college this year because the JUCO Region 9 tournament was down there. But I'd never done a game at the new Kelly Walsh Gym, and that was a beautiful building. So I was courtside there, too. And just to see it up close, the atmosphere of the whole tournament itself and each individual game, and to be doing it for, you know, obviously your hometown team is a thrill.
Then the boys had two really close games, and they literally survived the first and the second round. And winning what for late couple free throws in the first opening round, and then they scored a bucket at the buzzer to win the second round, and then the final went to double overtime. Just couldn't get any closer. Heartbreak City in a lot of ways, but you know what? A fantastic season for the Cody boys.
Yeah, 22-6 overall. You know, over 20 wins. Obviously, that's a great campaign. It would have been nice to make it 23. And look, you know, it is sports. There's a winner and a loser.
That's right. That's the way it works.
You know, you don't play a championship game to share the title. You play for a winner and a loser, however long it takes. So, yes, there will always be that little missing puzzle piece. And like I said, you know, with an email from some Buffalo listeners and throwing in a Go Bison at the end, you know, that's going to stick with me a little bit. But absolutely can't take anything away from the boys. The effort they showed was state championship worthy. And
I think that's fair to say. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, absolutely. I was trying to look at the, you know, at the stats at the end of that game and, you know, if you could pinpoint anything that made the difference. And it's like, you know, maybe there's something here, something there. There had to be a winner, there had to be a loser. And, you know, Buffalo's, you know, kid who scored 37 points in the game, he makes a crazy long three-pointer to tie it with 5 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. You know, both teams, you know, force a second overtime, and then, you know, and Buffalo gets the only 9 points of that second overtime there. And the Bronx just playing shorthanded, probably ran out of steam. Buffalo was a very good team to begin with. And you know, as disappointing as it is, again, it was thrilling. It was a great game. It really was. It was an epic game. Double overtime state championship? Casper Event Center with all those people? That's awesome.
Tell us, there's just the I guess, to use an old ABC Wild World of Sports slogan, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, but in the second case, really not defeat, more like a tie. But you had Friday night, or Friday, they won on the last second shot, Cody does. And then Saturday, they're seconds away from winning the state championship, and this guy nails this NBA distance three-point shot. Mm-hmm. As a broadcaster, just calling something like that in back-to-back days, a buzzer beater to win for the team you're calling, and then a three-pointer to tie the game and send it to overtime. Mm-hmm. Just your thoughts, and then the atmosphere that you felt for maybe the Cody fans, if you did happen to catch that while you're broadcasting.
Well, I'll even go back to Thursday afternoon in the There's opening another round one, yeah. against Worland.
Free throw.
You know, the Bronx did not play well in that game. They just didn't. And I'm sitting there for 31 and a half minutes, you know, thinking that this state championship dream is going to come to an end with an upset in the opening round.
They didn't play well that first game.
No, they did not, and Worland did. And, you know, that's the thing about sports is you've always got to give some kind of credit to the other team.
Absolutely.
You know, the emotion of that, and I'll tell you what, Darren, because I'm just so weird and crazy, I felt...
I could have told you that, though.
I know. You always do. I felt worse, if you can believe it. I felt worse after Thursday's win than I did after Saturday's loss.
Because you had no idea the way they played Thursday, thinking they're lucky they... Yeah. With all due respect, came home with a victory in advance. So you're thinking, okay, boy, this doesn't look well. If they're going to play like this tomorrow, Rawls is going to beat them pretty good.
Okay. You know, they snatched victory from the jaws of defeat against Worland. And, you know, in tournament situations, you do have to survive at times. They did. But, you know, Friday, and I don't know how many people I ran into that day, but I think I said to one or two, gosh, if we play like we did yesterday, you know, we're gonna get our butts kicked tonight.
And most people that saw that probably would agree.
Yeah. And then, you know, so anyway, they came out and they looked like the Cody Bronx that I expected them to be Friday night against Rollins. And, you know, like I said, it wasn't the same venue as Casper College, which I love doing games from. You know, Kelly Walsh the setup is a little bit different. The lighting is different. But I tell you what, after that game ended, I was sweating. There were a lot of people in there, and the emotion of the game itself. And
low-scoring game.
Low-scoring game in the 40s, yeah. And, the Bronx were stuck on 38 points, which they hadn't scored in the fourth quarter until a couple of free throws with, I don't know, what was it, around a minute to go, give or take. My heart was pounding. I mean, when Rollins ties that game at 41, and I'm just... You're just thinking to yourself, God, we're so close.
How much time was left when they tied it?
It was about 10 seconds, I think.
So Cody had the ball about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I looked up at the clock real quick, and there was about 10 seconds. You know, in high school basketball, the clock doesn't stop.
Sure.
You know, so it just keeps on going. So you have that in your mind going as well. It's like, gosh, he makes the bucket. It's going to take us a couple of seconds just to get the ball inbounded. So anyway, my heart's pounding, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, you know, we haven't scored much in this fourth quarter. If this goes to overtime, how are we going to survive kind of thing? And then one pass gets made, and another pass gets made. You know, Elijah Leyva brings it up the floor. He goes to Nick Nieders in the corner, and I'm thinking by then, you know, we gotta put a shot up. And then the pass goes along the baseline to Cooper Brown, and he lays it in at the buzzer, and everybody goes wild. I mean, that's March Madness to a T. It's high school sports, you know, state tournament action to a T. I'm flattered at the people who listen, because I got a text message from Tim Hurst, is the guy who does Torrington basketball. So I'm, you know, in my commercial break trying to total up all my numbers, and he's texting me, how many more commercials? So I get on the air when I start my post-game show, and I'm like, you know, I've got to calm myself down from what just happened before I can get out of this commercial break and, you know, put it into words and everything. So you go from not feeling like you deserve to win on Thursday to playing much better on Friday and pulling out a win at the buzzer, which is, you know, exciting in and of itself. And then just thinking to yourself, you know, we're in the championship. We've made it this far. Whatever happens, happens. You know, they're playing shorthanded without Zach Todd. And how far can they go? Can they do it? And, you know, I double-checked before I came on the air. The deficit was 17 points in the first half. That was the largest deficit.
In the championship game.
And that's what Cody had to fight back from. They got it to within 8 at halftime. No, I think it was 8 going into the fourth quarter. That's what it was. I don't remember the halftime score. And then they battled. They took a lead. And, you know, you were saying to me, it's better that they at least went to overtime rather than Buffalo or, you know, the other team, whoever it might be, hitting a shot to win it at the buzzer.
Right.
And you just having no opportunity for a response.
It's over. It's over.
Yeah, you know. Cody was able to come down the floor in the final handful of seconds and get a shot that didn't go down, but at least they were going to overtime. I mean, that would have just ripped my heart out completely if they had lost on a buzzer beater, you know, so to speak, like that, too. But
so Thursday night, Thursday, Cody hits two free throws, and Moreland comes down, misses a shot that could have tied it.
Man. They went actually could have won it.
Could have won it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And then Cody wins on a last second shot Friday, and then Saturday, Cody's up by three. Guy drains a 3-pointer, sends it to overtime. Mm-hmm. Now with the first overtime, we know that Cody, but double overtime came around. It seems like they might have ran out of gas.
Yeah.
They got outscored in what 9-0 and double. Overtime.
Yeah.
First overtime, what had that breakdown? What happened at the end of that overtime?
You know, I think it was a matter of Buffalo was able to get to the rim and make some fairly easy layups, to be honest with you. And every time that happened, just with the but, you know, Buffalo is a lot of guards who are small and quick and shoot the three well, get to the rim well. Not necessarily a whole lot of mid-range game in there, although they do have some kids who can, you know, shoot those type of jump shots. But they seem to get to the rim fairly easily, and I thought, gosh, every time Buffalo did that, it's like when we come back the other way, it always felt like it was a little tougher for us to score, but we would get a bucket to tie it or take the lead, or Buffalo would come back and tie it or something like that. And both teams scored 6 points in the overtime, and we went to double overtime, and I think the kid who hit the shot to tie it at the end of the fourth, he had a look from the corner for three to win it in the first overtime, and he missed.
Oh, wow.
You know, he makes a much longer shot to tie it, and then he misses one that would have won it. And then, gosh, Buffalo, they got to the free throw line, and it was a two-shot foul. Kid missed the first, made the second. That was technically the winning point. He was a starter who was in foul trouble, and he hadn't scored all game. And then he made one of two free throws, missed badly on his first one, you know, by the way. And then Buffalo goes on to score whatever 8 straight points after that, or 8 more points, and get the win. But I'm always thinking about, you know, how do I sum this up? How do I describe this? And the movie Tin Cup came to mind.
Okay.
And again, another one of my crazy comparisons. So you familiar with the movie?
Yeah,
I imagine, right? So at the end, Kevin Costner, you know, he's got a chance. I think it's the U.S. Open, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the tournament they're playing in the movie. Anyway, he's trying to get to the green in two over some water with an incredibly long shot with a wood or something like that. And he goes in the water however many times, 7, 8, 9 times in a row. And then he finally, you know, what is it? What does Jim Nantz say in that? Like, there's some rule where if he doesn't make it into the water, you're only allowed a certain... No, he's out of balls.
Yeah,
that's what it is. He's down to his last ball, and he still goes for it rather than laying up, which is like, you know, one of the whole themes of the movie. And he's able to get on the green. And, you know, his girlfriend, Renee Russo, in the movie, you know, they're walking off the green. And then he has this moment like, oh, I just lost the U.S. Open, right? I was so stupid that I had to go for it that I blew my chance. And she's like, they're not going to remember the fact that you came in second. They're going to remember the fact that you hit it on the green from however many yards, you know, kind of. And that's kind of how I felt about the Bronx is, you know, sure, because it's a winner take all sort of deal. Yes, people are going to remember that Buffalo won the game and Cody lost it, but the effort that the Bronx played with to get to that point, the game was so good that I feel like a lot of people are just going to remember the game itself, and the result of the game is going to be secondary to actually who won and who lost. It was just a great game.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with KODI Sports Director Tim Anderson, give us a call, 587-1400. Back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Mountain High Health Foods is pleased to welcome Dr. Blaine Chambers, a renowned health and wellness consultant. Join us Tuesday or Wednesday, March 13th or 14th for a 45-minute consultation with Dr. Chambers for just $80. His 33 years of research have been dedicated to solving health problems stemming from a lack of essential nutrients. Find out more through a simple blood test and consultation with Dr. Chambers, Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. To schedule an appointment, call 587-1700.
Almost anything, It's new at Linton Spagar. The Cub Cadet riding lawnmower with a 46-inch cut. Now at $16.99. Linton's is moving out the remaining fidget spinners for 77 cents each. And get Made in America service irrigation boots for just $17.99. It's time to start thinking spring at Linton's Big R.
What makes Heart Mountain Construction different? They're a professional local company specializing in high-end residential and commercial projects. Today, Heart Mountain Construction is building on their reputation as a reliable, trustworthy construction partner capable of delivering even the most complex projects on time and within budget. The experience and architectural detail of Rod Anderson and Chuck Gilchrist make Heart Mountain Construction an easy choice. From healthcare facilities to corporate headquarters, retail centers to dream homes, they approach every project with remarkable attention to detail. Visit their website, heartmountainconstruction.com.
Friends and Company Quilt Shop has it all. Need special fabric, notions, patterns, or thread? With at least 7,000 bolts of fabric, 400 plus panels, and hundreds of patterns to choose from, pursuing any project is a one-stop shopping experience. The friendly staff is always ready to help with fabric and thread choices or answer any questions you may have. Stop in for a one-of-a-kind shopping experience at Friends and Company, just off Bighorn Avenue in Cody, or call 527-7217.
Listen Monday through Friday for the award-winning Speak Your Piece on KODI. Join host Darren Dudrick weekday mornings from 9 to 10 as he talks with guests covering topics that affect our local community and takes calls from you to discuss impacts. Wyoming Association of Broadcasters awarded KODI Speak Your Piece first place for best talk show in Wyoming. Tune in mornings 9 to 10 with rebroadcast from 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Speak Your Piece only on 1400 AM and 96.7 FM KODI, the Bighorn Basin's news authority.
Join us to celebrate our 45th anniversary. Sir Optimist of Cody's 45th annual wine tasting party, Blue Sapphire, is Saturday, March 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Cody Auditorium. Enjoy mingling with friends while sampling wine, beer, and delicious food. Bid on many exciting silent auction items and be ready for a few larger auction packages as well. Tickets are $30 in advance, $35 at the door. Get your tickets today at Legends Bookstore in downtown Cody or from any Sir Optimist member. See you Saturday, March 17th.
Ancho's Fresh Mexican Grill is open. Let's see what customers are ordering.
I got taco salad with shredded chicken, black beans, Mexican rice, sour cream, tomatoes, salsa roja, and guac.
Yeah, I love the burrito with the refried beans, grilled steak, cilantro lime rice, black olives, and a stuffed ancho with queso. Oh, yeah.
There you have it. Build your perfect meal at Ancho's. I ordered the Baja Tacos, and all I can say is, muy bien, mi amigos. Drive through or dine in. Ancho's Fresh Mexican Grill, next to Albertsons in Cody.
Pain should not be a way of life. This is Linda Brown. Last week, I heard someone say, oh, I've tried physical therapy. It occurred to me that I've never heard someone say, oh, I've tried going to the doctor. Your therapy experience may vary, dependent on your physical therapist's interests, clinical approach, or specialized training. You have a choice in your healthcare decisions. Come see why our patients refer their family and friends to Advantage Rehab Physical Therapy. In Cody, 587-9866 or Powell, 754-2019.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with Tim Anderson, KODI Sports Director and the voice of Cody Athletics. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400, talking about the state basketball tournament where the boys finished second and the girls played and lost their two games at state. Other winter sports, well, wrestling, at least a couple of wrestlers had a fantastic season winning state, right?
Yeah, Dan and Charlie Boudry. Couple weeks before we were there for state basketball, and their dad Joe is an assistant for the boys, and I can tell you I'm always trying to find an angle, a good luck type of angle, a good omen, and you know, I didn't run into him. Well, actually I did briefly, but I didn't think to say anything to him, but I was like, you know, I was gonna give him some line about, you know, Boudry's don't lose in this building or something like that, because the event center is where the state wrestling championships are held as well. And maybe I should have said it. Maybe I should have remembered.
There you go.
I'm
gonna regret that. Huh?
You know, but then you know, another thing too, just really quickly, another you know, thing I was trying to, you know, play out in my mind is, you know, Nick Schmidt was an assistant on the boys team this year, and he was a senior on that state championship team 4 years ago. So I'm thinking, you know, that's got to be a good sign as well, right? You know, we can't lose this thing if we have a state champion from the last team on the coaching staff. But anyway. Yeah, wrestling for second place finish, best finish in decades.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
You know, two individual state champions. And then you had some indoor track kids who were state champions as well. I don't have that list in front of me here. But, yeah, there were other good moments for the winter.
Pretty good winter sports season. Now, spring, Tim, it's going to start just around the corner, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Spring sports? I have not even looked at a schedule for track or soccer or golf or tennis or anything. But when I was down in Casper, of course, like I said, the games were played at Kelly Walsh High School as well. Their soccer and track teams were practicing. Kevin Coyle, he works for Wyo Preps. You might have seen his name online associated with some of those stories. He was telling me Thursday soccer games will kick off around the state. So as soon as Thursday, we've got spring sports going on. And there always is a little crossover there. It's just kind of funny when you've got, especially in this case, you've got two teams to cover and you've got to, you know, make another long trip somewhere that, you know, we'll take care of spring sports after I'm done with the winter. I don't even... You know, I of course I know that soccer and track are coming up, but as to when they start specifically, that's not quite on my radar yet until I get basketball behind.
So just to remind everybody, the spring sports at Cody High School are boys and girls track, boys and girls soccer, or to go ahead and run down those for us.
Yeah, so the official spring sports are soccer and track, outdoor track and field, of course. You've got indoor track. Kelly Walsh's new high school, by the way, has an indoor track in it.
Okay.
Like, there's their main gym, and then there's, like, an auxiliary gym behind it, I noticed. And then below that, I noticed as I was driving out, there's, like, a four-lane track, and I think their weight room is down there as well. Anyway, it's a nice facility.
And they wonder why we have K-12 funding problems in the state of Wyoming. Because, it's all going down there.
Because the big schools
get all the great stuff, right?
And Natrona County High School had done some remodeling to their facilities not too long ago, right? And there's a new high school in Gillette and all this. Anyway.
Yeah. There you go.
So outdoor track and soccer, of course, boys and girls for both of the official spring sports. Golf and tennis, because their fall seasons are so short and because theoretically you're going to be getting decent enough spring weather to see a little action, they'll do some things. Golf and tennis typically don't start until a little bit after soccer and track. And actually, tennis-wise, Montana's official tennis season is the spring. Okay. So I know that Cody will go up to some tournaments there to see some action. So yeah, we'll get a handle on all of them soon enough.
Meanwhile, we'll jump back to winter and Quake hockey, the Yellowstone Quake. If you've been living under a rock, you may have missed that they've had a fantastic season once again.
Yeah, they finally, what was it, last week, not this past week, the week before, they locked up the number one seed. They played just once this past weekend. It was Friday night. They blew out their in-state rival, Gillette, who they will actually play in the first round of the playoffs. And Sue Bischoff was telling me, I think Friday, maybe, at home here, is the first game. First place, you know, back to the playoffs, obviously, you know, to begin with. And a really good chance at going out to the Chicago area for that national tournament again.
They have to win the tournament.
They don't have to.
They don't have to, okay.
2 years ago, they lost in the championship round to Great Falls. But their regular season had been so good that based on points, they got an at-large berth. And I would have to double-check the standings and maybe just take a quick look at the rest of the teams across the country and kind of where their point totals finished up through the regular season. But the automatic berth goes to the division playoff champion, and there's two rounds of those playoffs. Should be best of three each time. So
I'll be really interested to see how the Quake do this year in Chicago, because they've been really dominating in their conference this year.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to pick that, compete with some of the teams up there and maybe do well this year?
Yeah. The when they went 2 years ago, just off the top of my head, if I remember correctly, they did not make it out of pool play. They made it out of pool play last year and lost in the semifinal. And, you know, obviously they had a better team from 1 year to the next. And I don't know how good this year's team is compared to last year's that was able to get to that Final Four. But I would imagine, and look, it's not going to be easy because Great Falls, I think, is their biggest competition in the league. Great Falls is going to play Helena first round of the playoffs, and Yellowstone or Cody will play Gillette. But, I mean, I can see them moving on to Nationals yet again. How well they'll compete once they're there, I don't know. In December, they played at that showcase in Minnesota. And what did they do? I think they lost all three of their games, or lost two of their three games, against teams that they very well could see again outside Chicago coming up here.
Well, expectations are nice to have, although when the postseason happens, anything can happen. And we found out what happened to the University of Wyoming women's basketball team, who were putting together a superb season until come the Mountain West Conference tournament, and then just things fell apart.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking, too, about high school stuff as well, that, you know, you go into a season just, I think, hoping to be competitive. Because if you can compete, whether that's hopefully at the end, you give yourself a chance. And that's what that's what the Cody girls did, for example. I feel bad for the Cowgirls, you know, having a regular season championship, or at least a share of it, at their fingertips in the final week of the season. Losing that and then losing the semifinals to Nevada, a team they'd won a couple of close games against during the regular year and then lost a close one.
What happened? You know, injuries?
I'm trying to. Well, the final, what was it, the second to last week? Liv Roberts, their leading scorer, all-conference player, senior guard, she got sick, so she missed the Air Force game. And Air Force isn't very good. So I think the Cowgirls were betting that they could win that game without her.
Yeah.
But when you take a piece of the puzzle out of the equation, there's an adjustment period.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's a full game. You know, maybe it's a full week. I don't know. But they lost that game to Air Force, which you know, was a stumble. And they lost to Boise State, I think, in the final regular season game as well. They had to come back from a big first-half deficit in the tournament against, what was it, against New Mexico. And then, you know, when they were on that their most recent winning streak, they were really shooting the three ball well. Now, I don't think they're a team like the Cowboys that relies on the three-pointer. I think the Cowgirls are much more well-rounded than that. But I don't remember or I don't recall seeing, just in the write-ups of the games, I don't recall seeing them shoot as well from long range. So maybe their shooting let them down a little bit. Maybe they weren't 100% healthy, and I just, you know, never really heard about it. But it's a shame that they stumbled. I think they could have won that tournament. Again, wouldn't have been easy, but I think they could have won it.
NIT, maybe?
I would imagine they're a WNIT team.
Okay.
Although I have been surprised in the past where I think they've put together a good season and they haven't even got that of a, much of a bid. But they finished in, well, I think it was technically third place, you know, because there was a tie at the top. But I see them as a WNIT team. I mean, like I said before, what was it, 2007? They've won that tournament before. I think if you won that tournament before, you should be, in, at least in the back of somebody's mind, you know, considered for it again. Look, if you won it 10 years ago and you had a horrible season, then that's a pretty easy to dismiss you. But they had a good season. And, you know, you were telling me that the Cowboys might not play in anything at all,
well, that's
by their own choosing.
That's what the Cowboys State News Network was reporting on Friday, that they are going to decline any kind of postseason tournament after the men. They won their first opening round game in the Midwest, Mountain West, lost the second one, which put them out of the tournament and, of course, gave them no shot of making the NCAA tournament.
Right.
But, you know, what's your thoughts about that? A team like Wyoming, if that is indeed true, and we'll probably find out sooner than later, decline any kind of postseason tournament. I told you when you came in here for speaker piece, I'm thinking that a program like the University of Wyoming, I think you'd need do anything you can to get exposure.
Absolutely.
And a postseason tournament is the way to do it. And why they would decline that, I don't have no idea.
Yeah, and obviously I was out of town, so I didn't hear it like you did. My only guess is if that is true, then these postseason tournaments, like the CBI, that third-level tournament the Cowboys won last year, it's just maybe not profitable for the university.
That's probably what it is.
And I hope. You know, which is frustrating in its own right. That's the only reason I can think of. I mean, I'm not aware of the Cowboys being decimated by injuries, that they just wouldn't have the squad to compete. I haven't heard anything like that. I know a couple other guys were banged up toward the end of the regular season, but not like season-ending, you know, injuries or anything like that. So my only guess is that if the story is true, that it's just not profitable for UW to host those games.
20 plus wins for the men's, so another good regular season.
Yeah,
but just the Mountain West is just boop, they lay an egg. That happens.
Yeah, and it's I've told you this before. 20 wins is not what it used to be. And
you're right.
Major
certainly,
basketball.
I mean that's how UW is kind of like behind the eight ball when it comes to basketball. Yeah. For them, it's a big deal, but across the country, it's like right. Division One's like, come
right.
on,
right.
You better win 20 games if you want to be respected at least somewhat a little bit.
That used to always seem like kind of a
benchmark.
A benchmark. There you will. A deciding factor between bubble teams. Well, so-and-so's got 20-plus wins. The other team didn't get to 20, so we're going to give the bid to the team that had 20 wins or more. I think teams soften their schedules before conference play starts to rack up wins early. And then once they get into their league schedule, you know, if they don't fare as well and they're scratching and clawing, you know, toward the end of the season, hopefully they can get to 20 wins because maybe they had 10 non-conference wins before that.
Now we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament here in a little bit, but Gonzaga, there's talk about Gonzaga, the powerhouse Gonzaga, joining the Mountain West.
I saw that briefly on, you know, one of those ESPN bottom line scroll ticker thingies. Gonzaga was apparently one of six teams talking to the Mountain West about joining the conference. I don't know who the other five were. I have not seen a headline to click on. I have not sought out a headline to click on either, I'll add. But, yeah.
Maybe. Interesting that Gonzaga wants to go Mountain West instead of maybe Pac-12 or something.
That's a good point. Didn't think about that.
Maybe Pac-12, they're looking for some more, one of the bigger conferences. But the Mountain West for Gonzaga is almost a lateral move, isn't it?
You could argue that.
Okay, I mean,
you could argue that
the conference they're in now to that.
It's a group of five mid-major, I think. You know, Pac-12 is your power five or whatever you want to call it, if you want to use the football terminology. So yeah, I could see people arguing that. I think the Mountain West is deeper than the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, that's probably with the success San Diego State's had.
Absolutely.
That's certainly one of the teams you need to think about. And UNLV's.
Yeah, UNLV. Nevada was in the top 25, late in the season.
So maybe a little bit of a move up, perhaps.
Maybe a little
conference-wise,
bit.
Conference-wise,
competition-wise. It's not a move down,
No, certainly not.
And I guess the more I start to work it through in my head, I wonder what benefit there is for Gonzaga. I mean, maybe they're just bored with winning the West Coast Conference almost every year. I don't know. I mean, they're still a top 25 team. There's still a little bit of Cinderella to them, because they haven't quite gotten over the hump and, you know, won it all. But they're a Final Four caliber type of team. The West Coast Conference has tried to get better. St. Mary's has been top 25. Mm-hmm. I think St. Mary's beat Gonzaga in their first meeting this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So that was good for St. Mary's, but they got snubbed from the tournament, which I think is atrocious. You know, how do you keep a top 25 team? I don't know what St. Mary's finished at in the final poll, but a week or two ago, St. Mary's was in the top 25, and they didn't get in. Nevada in the top 25 did not win the Mountain West Conference tournament. They were able to get in, and then, gosh, you're going to start driving me crazy with these first four games they're going to play tomorrow.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. We're going to take a break. But, the Zags being in the Mountain West, if that ended up happening, would be a plus for teams like Wyoming. Absolutely.
It would bring
a lot more attention to the Mountain West. And I think if you're a University of Wyoming basketball fan, you should have to be in support of Gonzaga joining the Mountain West.
It would raise the profile of the conference. With a top 25 nationally recognized program. And I'm going to go on a bit of a limb here, and I don't want to offend any coworkers who are BYU Cougar fans, but BYU, I don't quite think they have brought the swag or competitiveness to the West Coast Conference that people thought they would when they left the Mountain West and kind of went independent for a little while and then found a different home. I mean, look, BYU is, the second or third best team in that conference behind Gonzaga and alongside St. Mary's, but I just don't think that they have. And I'm only saying this because maybe that is Gonzaga's reason for leaving. is like, hey, we welcome BYU into the West Coast Conference, but they haven't put up the resume that we thought they would to elevate the rest of the league.
Could be.
Therefore, we want to go to a different league that's a little bit deeper and more competitive. I don't know. That's just a theory.
We're going to talk more March Madness when we get back from the break. If you'd like to join the conversation with Tim Anderson, give us a call, 587-1400. We'll be back with more Speaker Peace right after these messages.
There are some vehicles out there that require no ethanol premium gas and others that aren't so picky. McIntosh Oil has them and more. And while we get into the colder months, it's important to get your fuel from someone you trust. McIntosh Oil has all kinds of grades of gas at their Cardtrol pumps and can bring it out to your farm or business. You can get an itemized statement each month to keep track of your consumption. No membership, just sign up. One less thing to worry about. And McIntosh Oil Company in Powell.
If you're in the market for a used vehicle, look no further than Garvin Motors in Powell. You'll find a great lineup of used vehicles at Garvin Motors with exceptional value, quality, and dependability. At Garvin Motors, their goal is to provide great prices and a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere, making your car buying experience fun. Stop by Garvin Motors today and see their great selection or visit them online at garvinmotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Garvin Motors, located on West Coulter Avenue in Powell.
Mom, Daddy went forward when he was supposed to go backwards. And he said words we're not supposed to say. But don't worry, we took the car to Reno Collision Center. Dad said they'll fix it like it was never broken.
Reno Collision Center is Cody's choice for expert collision repair. Their experience and commitment will give you the peace of mind you deserve. Reno Collision Center, just north of Veterans Memorial Park in Cody.
Mom, I wasn't supposed to tell ya.
Obtaining a home loan is easier from your hometown bank. This is Lee, branch manager of the Bank of Thermopolis. We're your local community bank, so our decision-making and service happens right here. Bank of Thermopolis offers competitive rates for conventional home loans, refinancing, home improvement, construction loans, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. Because our home is right here, we want to help you with yours. So stop by the Bank of Thermopolis. Let's talk. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Keel Sanitation is a full-service sanitation company when it comes to commercial needs. Roll-off containers range from a 10-yard unit up to 40 cubic yards with or without hoods. From 95-gallon roll-out carts to steel dumpsters, including bear-proof containers and carts. Windy areas are no problem. Top-crank hood lids are available to keep debris in its place. Whether you are seeking regular services or special needs, Keel Sanitation is ready to serve you. Call Keel first, 587-6616. That's 587-6616.
Did you know colorectal cancer is the second cancer killer of men and women? And symptoms often aren't noticed until later stages? Did you know there is more than one way to screen for colorectal cancer? Bottom line is, talk to your doctor about getting screened. For more information about free screenings, contact Val Walsh Haynes at Wyoming Cancer Resource Services at Cody Regional Health, 877-437-2702.
Wyoming Cancer Resource Services is funded by the Wyoming Department of Health Comprehensive Cancer Control Program.
Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show, Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show.
Nothing gives spring a jumpstart like the annual Spring Home and Garden Show at the Riley Arena in Cody. Browse hundreds of square feet of exhibits and find the latest in products and services for everything Friday, April 13th, noon till 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, April 14th from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show, Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, visiting with KODI Sports Director Tim Anderson. Tim's also the voice of the Cody Athletics. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. It's March Madness. March Madness has arrived. In my opinion, the greatest annual sporting event is the NCAA tournament. Of course, everybody has their opinion about that. That's just mine. But we should remind everybody, now is the time to head over to mybighornbasin.com. And find College Hoops Challenge. It's right there on our homepage. Click on College Hoops Challenge. If you're not signed up, sign up. You can fill out a bracket, and you might win some prizes. And I know, I think Tim's going to be filling out a bracket, and I am too. And you can give us a hard time if your bracket does better than ours, or we can give you a hard. Well, we can't give you a hard time, but yeah. So, are you excited about the NCAA tournament?
I really like the first week, just because games are played, all day long. You could tune in. That reminds me, I got an email last week from one of those websites with just those random factoids about it and all the lost money nationwide during March Madness, you know, because people are watching games online or TV or checking out. Anyway, whatever. I do like it because games are happening. You know, you're at work, you're doing your thing, and there's a game going on. And if something really cool happens in the middle of the day, you know, normally you hear about it instantaneously, and you can, you know, you watch a replay of some kind of a buzzer beater. So I like the event itself. I don't necessarily like how they go about selecting teams or how should I put it? I don't necessarily like the format always of the tournament and the selections of the teams in the tournament. But once you actually start playing the games, then it's fun.
I think that Thursday and Friday, the first Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament are the two best sports days of the entire year. I mean, that includes the Super Bowl,
right,
the World Series, right, any sport. I think, though, that Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament, that's just a heck load of fun because you got these small schools and these big schools. You got a chance for upsets. There's so much drama. It's just beautiful when it comes to the sports. I just love it. I'm a big basketball, college basketball fan.
Because it's wall-to-wall, you know, all day long for the most part, you know, 2 days at the end of the week, and things like, you know, like this bracket challenge even tend to bring out, you know, casual fans.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even less than casual fans, just because, you know, someone gets them roped in to maybe winning a prize or, you know, you could always use that argument like, hey, people like you and me who really follow sports, we don't necessarily have a better chance at winning than somebody
That's
who doesn't follow it as
right.
closely because there's so many upsets. It's almost it levels the playing field.
That's why it's such a great tournament.
It's wide-ranging appeal is you know, that's part of the whole thing.
Now, before we went to the break, you were getting ready to tear into the NCAA tournament's first four that happens on, Tuesday and Wednesday or just Tuesday?
Don't they play them? Well, no, it's got to be Tuesday and Wednesday.
I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday. And what it is, so it's a field of, the field is 64. 64 teams start Thursday, but there's 68 teams chosen because they play games on Tuesday. I think, but you don't like that.
I do not. I think it's I don't think that they needed to expand the tournament to begin with. I think 64 was fine. That just the way that breaks down for 3 weeks, you know, it works out perfectly as far as I'm concerned. I think they added four teams, however many years ago that was, just to appease some of the bigger programs in the country who maybe finished in the bottom half of their conference. Maybe lost early in their conference tournament, but they have a reputation just to give them an at-large berth. And as I've told you before, Darren, expanding the field from 64 to 68, as far as I'm concerned, didn't really get any small school mid-major Cinderellas into the field. It just got teams like, Syracuse and Arizona State, I think, are a first four game. Mm-hmm. I went to ASU. They had a nice first half of the season. They climbed the polls, I want to say, as high as number four in the country. And then for whatever reason, and I still don't know why, when Pac-12 play came around, they kind of went completely the other direction. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been a tournament team per se. I'd really have to study their schedule and maybe, you know, find out some other information as to why they really struggled in the second half of the year. But that is a perfect example of what these first four games have become. Arizona State and Syracuse. ASU from a Power 5 conference and a Syracuse team that is not what it used to be, but has enough of a pedigree and a resume that, you know, you think of them in March.
Just another, again, the four games, there's four games that are played, and then the winners advance into the field of 64 on Thursday and Friday. But you're right. I think it's just another reason for the NCAA to get more teams involved, which I think is a good thing. So I have nothing against the first four.
Okay.
I just love, though, the comparison between this beautiful thing they call the NCAA tournament and the crap that we get fed during the college football season during the bowl games.
Right.
I mean, not even in the – I mean, they're so opposite. I mean, you got one that just is perfectly put together. It's fair – all the teams in the small schools have as equal chance as the bigger schools. Mm-hmm. And then you have college football, which is just a mess as far as I'm concerned.
And why does the NCAA control its men's basketball tournament, but the NCAA has no control over the bowl system and the college football playoff? I just think that's ludicrous. But what also bugs me, and, you know, Sorry if I'm, I shouldn't say if, I'm definitely repeating myself from years before. There's no rhyme or reason to the first four. Some games are for 16 seeds. Other games are for 11 seeds or something like
11
that.
11 seeds, yep.
It's, I think what really bothers me too about it is some of those like 16 seeds, those are conference champions. And look, I understand they're from conferences you've probably never heard of, but they're conference champions. They have earned the right to be in the field of 64, yet they're having to play in a play-in game, essentially, on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, turn around 2 days later, travel somewhere else, and play a one seed or something like that. Look, they're probably going to get blown out in the first round, even with that for that first four game. But gosh, doesn't that just stink?
Yeah.
Here you
big
go.
Conference champion.
Yeah.
You got to play a play-in game.
Yeah, here you go, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, or whoever, I don't know, North Carolina Central, I think, might have been one of
North
those.
North Carolina Central is one of them, yep.
Anyway, take your pick at any number of the, or any name of those schools, and congratulations, you won your conference. You got on ESPN SportsCenter. You have to play on Tuesday in Dayton, Ohio, just to get into the actual field of 64. I think it's ridiculous.
What I, but at least some of those, at least some of those small conference teams have a chance. And in college football, they have no chance
at
all.
That's true. You're absolutely right about that.
So I get the number one seeds, Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Xavier.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to give anybody any tips out there that are going to fill out their bracket. I guess the big tip is no first round, no number one seed's ever lost in the first round to a 16 seed.
Right.
So
you've only had a 15 over two.
There's the tip. So
right. There's your tip.
There's
right.
Your tip. Yeah. Thanks. A lot of people are saying that really helped.
There has been one in the women's, though. I think Harvard beat Stanford a while back, if I'm not mistaken. But 15 over a two was the only, it was as far as it's gone in the men's tournament.
So I know you're an ASU guy, Arizona right. State. See, I like the Big East. I'm a Big East fan. I like the schools from the Big East. I like Villanova. So I'm a big fan of Big East conference basketball. You like Michigan and two Wolverines, right?
It's honestly, it's even tough to call me an ASU guy for basketball because Arizona's the team. Down in that state, the Wildcats. Sure. I hate to say it, but
basketball,
the Wildcats are a lot better than my Sun Devils are. I'm an ASU fan, but there's generally hasn't really been anything to get all worked up about. My parents are from Michigan, so there are more Michigan State fans for some reason. I'm more of a Wolverine guy. They went on a run at the end of the season. They won the Big Ten tournament, Big 12 or whatever they call
Michigan,
it now.
Yep,
yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, and people can believe it or not, I'm a Wyoming fan. And
you're a homer.
I'm a homer. And even though the Cowboys are, not really even sniffing the NCAAs, and obviously they're not in, and the Cowgirls, unfortunately, came up short of a conference championship in there. My college, fan focus starts kind of with Wyoming,
okay.
To Good be honest you. With you. I keep tabs on how Arizona State does because I went there.
Yeah.
I keep tabs on how Michigan does. I mean, I like to see Gonzaga still getting into the mix over and over.
I like Gonzaga
as
well.
There are teams that I pay attention to, but, I wouldn't go into this tournament saying I'm rooting for the Sun Devils necessarily because I don't know how long it's been since they actually made it.
See, I got to be for Tennessee because my wife's from Tennessee, so I got to be watching the Volunteers quite a bit, so they're back in the tournament.
Did you ever see that ESPN documentary? It might have been one of those 30 for 30 things on the Big East conference.
I did.
That is a great
show. It's interesting. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Very interesting. Those are a lot of fun to watch.
They are. They're well done.
So we tell everybody, go fill your bracket out, mybighornbasin.com, College Hoops Challenge, and see if you can do better than Tim and me.
Probably won't be too
hard. Probably won't be too hard at all. Tim, thanks for coming today. Appreciate it. And that will do it for Speak Your Piece. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Piece with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.